Good morning, all of you, as you're logging in. Welcome to today's webcast, Living Through COVID-19 as a Weight Loss Surgery Patient. I'm Sandy Henderson, and this webcast is presented by WLS Success Matters and powered by Bariatric Support Centers International, founded by Colleen Cook, who is part of the panel. Our panel today will be discussing their new normal as we all work together on thriving through these unusual times. For all attendees, please find the mute button and mute yourself, as well as shut your cameras off so that you'll be able to see the panelists as we speak. There's also a chat bubble in the upper right-hand screen, and you can put your questions there. And at the end of the panel discussion, there'll be a Q&A, and we'll try to hit all of your questions at that point. Our panel today will be moderated by Wendy Campbell, and with that, I'll turn it over to her.
Yay, thank you, Sandy. So we're thrilled to have everybody here. This is our first time doing this, so thanks for being patient with us. Super excited for our panelists to introduce themselves. So I'm gonna go ahead and start with Kirk. If you could tell us a little bit about you and introduce yourself to the panel, that would be great.
Hello, I'm Kirk Hunt, and I had BSG surgery back in January of 2013. So I'm about 7 years post-op, and I've undergone a couple rounds of reconstructive surgery, and I am recently retired and now a full-time student, and I'm just happy to be here.
Yay, thank you for that. Nikki.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, Sandy and Wendy, for having me. My name is Nikki Massey, and I am 12 years post-op gastric bypass surgery. And for those of you here who already know me, you probably know me because I run a website and an online community called Bariatric Foodie, where we help weight loss surgery patients and the people who love them learn to play with their food. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, yay. We're happy to have you. Vernon.
Good morning, and thank you, Sandy and Wendy, for inviting me. I'm Vern Vincent. I'm sort of a accidental tourist on this panel. I'm very proud to be invited to join a group of people who've worked extremely hard, and I've been watching you work hard. I'm not a patient. I've been involved in medical device for about 30 years, specifically in weight loss surgery for about 25. And I'm hoping to contribute something today, but primarily I want to contribute my respect for the hard work you've done and how you've made your success happen.
Perfect. We love Vern. Yelena.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. My name is Yelena. I am a 12-year bariatric post-op. I had the lab band, and then after I had my son, my band slipped. I loved my band, but I got the sleep after, which I love as well. I've also had three reconstructive surgeries, and now I do a lot of advocacy. I go to the OEC conference, the Obesity Health Conference, and I teach for my benefits.
Encourage everyone to kind of do their part, wear the mask, and help those.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm listening to other sound. Colleen.
Our goal is just to get as many of you out there to the public as we can.
Hi there, this is Colleen Cook, and I'm so delighted to be with you guys. Look at all the people, it's awesome. This year is especially awesome for me. I'm celebrating 25 years as a weight loss surgery patient. Old school, back in the day, open surgery, I've got a scar, it's a long, long time, and what a ride. For sure. So I'm thrilled to be here with you. I thought, I don't know if you can see this, but I thought this might be interesting. Can you see that okay?
Yes.
This is my 25 years.
Oh, wow.
1 year of time, what my weight is done. Anyway, there you go.
I love it.
Happy to be here, and thanks to both of you for doing this.
Thanks for being here. I love the chart. I'm going to ask everybody who's on the call if you can. I'm just going to go ahead and mute. I don't want to mute all because I want our speakers to be able to present. So I'm individually muting folks. You have background noise. And if you put yourself on mute, that allows everybody to hear everything quite clearly. So we do appreciate you using your mute button. Thank you so much. Cassie.
Hello, everybody. My name is Cassie Story, and I have been a registered dietitian working with weight loss and weight loss surgery patients for 16 years. That's crazy. I had to think of the year. I was fortunate enough to start out right away in my career working with bariatric surgery patients and fell in love and have never been back. So very happy to be here today and talking to you all. And I am looking for tips and tricks that you guys are using to stay healthy and sane right now. That's important too.
It is. Excellent. We're glad to have so many veterans on the panel. I love it. It's exciting. So we'll dive right into it. And I want to jump to Yelena. And if you could tell us, Yelena, how COVID-19 has impacted your family personally. How's that going? How are your family doing during these times?
Yeah. So I'm a single parent and I have a 7-year-old that's at home. So it has been a challenge from that perspective because I work from home now, and I also have him, and he has his job too. So we're definitely multitasking. Biggest thing for me that has changed is I teach at the gym 3-4 times a week. The gyms are now closed. So what it's changed for me is I am now teaching virtual classes online for people for free every morning for the little kids and then adults as well, because they've hopped on and the kids will sit on the couch and watch. So it's become way more active for me. And that's usually the way I cope. Also in terms of food, cooking all the time. We rarely went out to restaurants before, but now it's like a family thing. My son is trying to cook. So it's kind of been a very pleasant surprise for us. It's been great.
There you go. I like that positive piece of it. And Kurt, can you tell us a little bit about your family and how this has impacted your family, your home?
Well, let's see. My partner is a physician and has to intubate folks with COVID almost all the time. So my 2-week quarantine clock starts over every single day, which is kind of exciting. And then, and by exciting, I mean not. And then the way it's impacted me or my family is just since the lockdown has happened, I've had a trip to Amsterdam canceled. I've had a trip to Las Vegas canceled. My trip to Bermuda has just been canceled. And for those of you who know me, traveling and being around my people is a big, huge part of what makes me happy. So it's impacted me quite a bit that way. But I also started school at this time, so it's a good way for me to stay focused on school. So I'm down for staying locked in as long as we have to get this over with so I can get back on the road.
There you go. Perfect. And I want to turn it to Vern. He's one of our world travelers. You and Kirk have a lot in common, Vern. How has this impacted you and your family, COVID-19? Oh, take yourself off of mute. Hold on. Can I take him off of mute? Sorry. Hold on there, Vern. You got yourself on mute somewhere. I just sent you an audio pin. I don't think Vern can hear me, unfortunately. Sandy, do you want to text Vern? I'll move on to somebody else while you text Vern and help him with his audio. I've sent him a pin, send the audio pin, which I did, it's number 1. So you should be able to hit it, #1#. Or you can message him that. We'll come back to you, Vern. So, Kathy, let's jump into you. Not that you have anything in common traveling with Kirk. I don't know that about you. But working in the patient professional space, right? How has that impacted you and your family, COVID-19?
I'm also a single mom. I feel very fortunate that my girls are 13 and 11 because they are in the teenager cave space, you know, where they go into their room and they don't come out until the evening anyway. So it works out really well for me. You know, I think every day is so different you know, it's nothing like what I expected it to be. I think at the start of it, maybe it kind of felt like an adventure, like a fun challenge or something to try to do, but it has not turned out that way for me. I think I made up this list of all these things to clean in my house, and get the junk drawer organized and the laundry room and all these things, right? I thought, oh, I now have all this time in the world and I haven't done anything. And I think that that's okay and pretty normal. I think for me, it's kind of this like survival mode, even though I'm not personally affected by the virus right now and I don't know anybody who is, it just feels collectively like we're surviving. And so I think one of the big things that I've had to let go of the last few weeks is accomplishing a lot, because I thought I was going to be able to use this time to accomplish so many things and none of that has happened. So now whatever we are 4 weeks in, I'm really let that go and just allow the day to be the day and to take care of what needs to be taken care of. So honestly, like, I think my health, nutrition, all of that has declined since this started. I don't think it's been an interesting thing. It's been an interesting experiment, I would say. Today I woke up with the thought of wanting to get healthier again. So we'll see. But again, I think the message is none of us have been through something like this before. So allow yourself to have the day unfold the way that it is and take any pressures off, you know, because it is a very just interesting time that we're living through right now. So
I like what you said about we're surviving together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So great points. Vern, you want to test your audio again? No, I got no audio for Vern. I'm frustrated by that for you, Vern. We'll get that worked out. Sandy, maybe you can work on that in the background. I'm going to move on to our next question. And it seems like we have a lot more folks joining us on the line, which is exciting. I want to talk about how you're maintaining regular exercise routine while you're practicing social distancing. And I'm going to turn that to Nikki, because I know Nikki was on a streak. She was on a fitness streak before all this came to play. So how has that changed for you, Nikki?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting because I am a creature of habit. I'm a person who I do things like fitness streaks on Instagram where I go to the gym every day for like 30 days. And that plays into my love of just having a routine. And like everybody else, my routine is completely thrown off. The one saving grace I have here is that I started, I run these games within my community called Step Bets. And it's an app-based walking game that's a six-week walking game. And you actually put money into it. You sort of bet $40 that you can keep up step goals for a period of 6 weeks. And so I'm in this step bet. And I was a little panicky when everything started getting shut down, but it really has been my saving grace because it's got me out there. And I've not only like been walking, but I've been trying to mix it up and have some fun. So I've discovered a lot of great videos on YouTube. I discovered, you know, everybody told me about Leslie Sansone. I didn't listen, but I've discovered her now. And just a lot of fun things to just get those steps in, because my step goals are, you know, pretty significant since I've been doing these games for a couple of years. So I have to get like between 13 and 15,000 steps a day. So I have to, you know, be out there doing things. And it's been fun, but definitely sort of plays into my need for routine, which has been helpful to my general mental health too.
So does that mean at the end of the day, if you're shy of your steps, you get up and you get moving?
I try not to let that happen. I always say to the folks who are in the game, you can either get your steps joyfully or painfully. And joyfully means you sort of plan it out and your day is pretty even. And by the time it's time to go to bed, you can go to bed feeling good about where you are, versus painfully is being up at like 11:50 trying to get 2,000 steps in 10 minutes. I try not to find myself in that place, but I also have a dog. So he helps to keep me on my step track, because he definitely needs to go out and be walked and exercise himself too.
Nice. I'm gonna go with the same question, our 25-year veteran weight loss surgery patient. How's that changed, or is it the same in your world?
Well, it's, we live in the woods, so social distancing is what we do, so it's a little easier. But in the winter, it's difficult because it's, we have so much snow. We're not skiers. I don't own snowshoes. And so to get out and get moving is hard. So this winter I missed my gym for sure from the city. I bought an elliptical that's up in the loft and I've got a nice view and that, so I've enjoyed that. And we had a couple grandkids stay with us a few weeks ago during this quarantine time. And we got out my Wii Fit. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where you jog on the, or you ride the bike or you bowl, or you play tennis. And it is so much fun. And so we've been doing that in addition. So I do inside stuff and walk the dogs, you know, and then now things are melting. And then this Wii Fit has been hysterical. So that's been fun. Crazy idea, but.
Well, crazy. Wii Fit was the very first exercise I did. I bought it the weekend I was pre-op for weight loss surgery. And I was like, this is my big thing. I'm going to get this Wii Fit. I'm going to use it. And I did. That's how I first initially started exercising as a weight loss surgery patient. It now lives underneath a dresser. So
well, I dare you. So I get on again, right? You make your little Wii. And of course, now I'm 60. So I wasn't 60 when I started that. And I have this cute little blonde thing. And it said, it has been 387,462 days since you've logged on. So anyway, that's been a fun thing to do while I'm in. So
nice, thanks.
It's melting, yay! So we'll get outside soon.
Did you get snow there up until May?
Yeah, it's we have mud season now. It'll melt like crazy, and we have feet. So it takes a long time to melt. We're on the north side of a mountain, so it takes a long time. But
so good thing
it's
for
slushy,
the
but I can at least get out and walk now, so we're good.
Awesome. And then we've got Yelena on here. And I'm so curious, Yelena, you spoke already about your fitness. And I'm curious to know, are you having more people attend your virtual fitness than you would a group class? And how's that dynamic changed? And what kind of questions or feedback are you getting from the people who are doing a virtual fitness for the first time?
Yeah, I would say people that don't typically exercise, there's some people who absolutely thought that they wouldn't exercise at home. Those are my actual in-person students. And I saw somebody post, they're like, I never thought I would exercise in my home because it's like, but it's nice to be able to see everybody. And then I have other people logging in that have been too shy to come to a class or live in another state. And they just keep their camera off and they have their name there and that's totally fine. Others just kind of let it all hang out and go and dance with me. And many people, I think the hard part for many people coming to a group fitness class is they think like all these people are gonna be doing this like perfect routine, especially Zumba or any cardio fit that I do, then I'm gonna be the one. And I think this virtual kind of situation let them see that like, oh, it is very modifiable and I'm big on modifying. I've also been doing through my Facebook page, just nightly seated classes, because for some people, that's the kind of exercise that you do, just in your chair. So I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is people come out of their box. I think, one thing I read is we have people who are over-functioners and under-functioners, and both ways of coping is okay. The over-functioners, they say do instead of feel, and under-functioners avoid instead of feel, which is fine. You know, I'm an over-functioner, and there are people who are trying to, they first started as an under-functioner, and then they're kind of like, they're just trying it out, and they come in. I've had a few people just sit and watch. And that's totally fine too, because then they kind of get into the mode. They might just dance with me for 8-5 minutes, and that's totally fine. I think it's exciting. I've seen people exercising and moving that haven't before. So I think it's a great opportunity for people to try something new.
How cool, right? Such a different dynamic. Now, I think that we have worked out Vern's camera. I'm going to say I muted
everyone. Testing. Earth to everyone. Can you hear me now?
Yay!
Thank you.
My bad.
How fun when everything works. Everything works when you practice, when you do the dress rehearsal, and then it doesn't work live. That's the story of my life. So you did hear my introduction, my first 30 seconds. You heard that, right?
Yes. So
okay.
We want to.
So how has this affected me? Kirk, you may have outdone me. I did have a trip to the UK that was canceled. I have 3 trips to Las Vegas that have been canceled. I'm not missing that. I don't care for Las Vegas much, but it was for 3 important meetings. MIS, the WFSA, and AOC. And then a very personal issue is that my wife's Japanese. My mother-in-law is 94, doing well, but living in a home in Japan, a facility. And we periodically visit her. Right now, we're talking to her on the phone every day, and my wife is not able to visit her. It's a first world kind of problem, I understand. But everything came to a screeching halt. Last year, I flew 196,000 miles on United alone. This year, I've flown 6,000. I'm grounded. So what am I doing to compensate? I'm actually getting healthier. Instead of sitting on airplanes and eating bad food and drinking the free alcohol, I'm walking and I'm riding. This morning I rode 22 miles. This week total, I've ridden about 140. Getting up early, and there's several bike paths that are pretty empty first thing in the morning. Feel like a cheater to go outside, but it's been working out. And another thing I'm doing is growing a garden. I've dug up most of the backyard and it's all planted with something. So the plan is, by the time it all comes in and is ready to be picked, I'll be on an airplane somewhere again.
So is your wife going to do the picking for you?
She'll probably be in Japan, so we're just going to leave the gate open for the neighbors.
There you go. Gotcha. Well, I'm glad I was able to get you off of mute. And he is a traveler, a world traveler for sure. But I heard was there's some benefit there. You're getting healthier.
Well, another bizarre benefit is our adult child, she's 28, is in graduate school in Michigan. Well, her graduate school in Michigan is on the other side of the room next door in her old bedroom, because she was evacuated out of there and is doing her second semester of her MBA program virtually. So silver lining is she's home. She keeps telling us to leave her alone because she's got work to do.
That is a nice benefit. I like how you put the silver lining piece to it. Speaking of that, and she's like, leave me alone, right? His daughter, let's talk a little bit about stress, right? So that's one of the things. Sandy and I work with patients every day around the globe. And this surviving that Cassie mentioned that we're all doing impacts us all a little bit differently. Even Yelena kind of highlighted on what she's, you know, done some research on how we respond as individuals to that stress. So I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to talk about that stress. Are you feeling more stressed? Is surviving, is this, you know, sheltering in place, maybe working from home with the kids there, not being able to do your regular stuff, more people around? What are you doing about stress? How do you personally handle stress? Because what we get a lot of feedback from in our coursework is that we resort back to our habits, and those habits tend to be food and grazing. And in that moment, it is refreshing, but then there's typically it's followed by a lot of regret, right? So I'm just curious to know what you're doing about stress, if it's impacting you at all, how are you handling it, and is food one of your coping mechanisms, right, when you deal with stress? And Colleen's got such a great look on her face, so I'm going to start with her about that.
What, as I read through your questions earlier, and I thought, what would I say, you know, to bariatric patients that are, we're all in the same the same spot where, you know, distancing from the refrigerator would be a good goal. And in fact, I saw a thing the other day that showed the mask and it said, wear it at home, not because you're worried about infecting anybody, but to keep you from eating. And I thought, oh, that's better than the whitening trays. That works really good to keep me eating. But as far as stress goes, I thought, you know, one thing that I've noticed with myself is that, I mean, since my sister passed away, my mother lives with us. She's 77. That's all new for us in the last couple of months. That's been an adjustment. And she's got, you know, some emotional and some medical issues. And my husband is as well struggling. And it's difficult for, and I'm the type A go-getter, keep working, don't stop, make sure you accomplish a million things, don't waste this time kind of person. Well, and they're not. And so I'm stress. I think it's important for us, whether we're patients or not, to make sure that we have some way of dealing with our own energy, taking care of us, and letting the other people's stuff go. mean, there's all kinds of yoga things and all kinds of Tai Chi that help you get the energy somewhere else because it doesn't belong to us. Everyone is dealing with their own issues and they're all in their own way. And even if you feel like things are going well, there's still this underlying stress that everybody kind of, it's just kind of there with everything. We're not talking about it, you know, in the grocery store or anywhere. We're just, it's just there. And so taking care of my energy, of course, you know, exercise and reading and accomplishing checkoff lists and keeping moving the best that I can has been important for that, as well as, you know, some Tai Chi and yoga, you know, kinds of things that I do, watch people online. So
energy.
A couple ideas.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a huge piece, energy, right? We can easily be impacted by somebody else's energy. So what do we do with that, right? How do we move with that?
Cassie, and through the years, as I mentioned, I'm 25 years post-op, and I'm starting to recognize that the eating right, I am more in tune with how it makes me feel than I used to be. And my energy has a lot to do with what I have eaten. And when I know I have to be on top of it and have a really good day, I can't eat that way. And I do. I sometimes eat that way. I mean, I've had my share of jelly beans for sure. And then I don't feel well and my energy goes down. And then, so I it's been a good thing to learn to focus more and pay attention more on my energy, how I feel and what's causing that around me, whether it's my behavior, what I've eaten or people.
Yeah, good point. And that's a great segue to Cassie, because I feel the same way, right? And I see everyone on the screen nodding their head as Colleen was talking. The sooner we figure that out, right, that what we eat, our fuel, actually determines how we feel, is a big one. So I'm so curious to hear what you have to say about that, Cassie.
Yeah, as far as stress management, I'm not a high stress person in general. For those of you that know me, I'm pretty zen. Taken, like I said, each day as it comes, but for stress management, for me in particular, I find that a morning meditation, I just use YouTube.
Sorry, you got muted. Now you're not muted. Go ahead. My bad.
Hello?
Good. Yep.
Okay. So basically, for my stress management, morning meditation, when I start the day off like that, or with a walk or a combination of both, the day always goes much more smoothly, I would say. And at the end of the day, for the last maybe 8 or 9 months, the majority of days I've been writing in a gratitude journal. I'm sure most of you have heard about this idea before, but I have 3 columns in mine, and I write what I'm grateful for the day, what I look forward to in the future, and then a prayer column, or you could call it whatever you want, but something that I need help with. And so when I keep those practices, like bookend the day with starting and ending, it works better. Now, I don't do that every day. I'm not perfect. And on those days, I do notice more of like a chaotic type of feel. And, you know, I have the kids' foods and snacks in here too that I can tend to go and grab. So for me, to still do prep and making sure that I have foods on hand. If I bring home, you know, a bag of carrots or something and I throw them in the refrigerator, I'm usually just throwing them away later. If I come home and chop them and put them in little baggies, individual baggies or individual Tupperware or something, so that it's ready to go. So still trying to do some semblance of meal prep, with the limitations that we have as far as store regulations and how often we can go and what they have there too. So yeah, those are all
all hail to the food prep, right? Making it happen. You gotta have it.
It makes the world a difference, and it saves you money too, because if you're like me, I have so much food waste, things that I throw away because I'll forget about it. I throw it in the back of the fridge or something and don't go and grab it, especially when it comes to fresh produce. So but frozen is good too. So if you can't get to the fresh, you know, if one of your states are advising to go shopping for 2 weeks, frozen vegetables and fruit are just fine too.
Oh, great tip, actually. Thanks for sharing. And then there's bariatric foodie. And I'm just like, tell us about bariatric foodie and stress. And is food in that picture? How do you navigate that, Nikki?
Oh, food is always on my shoulder, whispering to me, trying to beckon me closer. That's been like the story of my life, my whole life, but especially the last 12 years since surgery. I work at home now, like most of the other folks on this panel. And one of the things that I feel very fortunate about is that I have an actual office space. So that sort of created like an alternate universe of normalcy for me. So I come into the office when it's time to work. I leave the office when it's time to leave work. And the office is upstairs. The kitchen is on the main level. So that alone, because I am lazy, keeps me away from like in between meal snacking. But one of the things that's been really crucial to me is that I get a lot of satisfaction. I'm that weirdo who likes like 12-step recipes and food prep and chopping things and things like that. And those things that you make tend to be healthier things because you're chopping vegetables and sauteing things. And so I take some time in the morning before it's time to log into work to go and make myself an actual cooked breakfast. I've been working on the past week on actually sitting down at the table and eating it instead of bringing it into the office. I want to keep my office as sort of a food free zone in my life mentally. So I've been trying not to eat in here. I've been trying to actually go out of the office and eat and then come back in. But I really like, you know, preparing myself, taking time to prepare myself a little breakfast in the morning, you know, my lunch. Usually my boyfriend makes dinner in the evening, which I'm very, very thankful for. But the thing that's kept me really on the straight and narrow is just really keeping a tighter control about what even comes into my orbit in the first place. Because if, you know, there are certain things I just know I cannot control myself around. And so those are the things that I have not been buying. Like under ordinary circumstances, every once in a while, I'll say, oh, you know, I can treat myself. No, I'm not doing that right now. It's, you know, I'm bringing stuff into the house that is, you know, above board. I think my one indulgence, and this actually requires some exercise to do it, is that there's a 7-Eleven a mile and a quarter from my house. I'll go there in the morning for my morning walk to go get some coffee, because I actually don't own a coffee maker. So I go there to get my coffee in the morning, I come back. But other than that, I've been trying really hard to keep the junk out of the house, out of my orbit, and like sort of establish my office as my workspace and my bedroom as my sleep space, and trying not to intermingle food too much into that so that I don't start to associate those two things together, because that's where the danger zone starts with me, is where you know, I just start, when I ease up on my sort of personal boundaries for myself and start doing anything anywhere, it's a bad situation for me.
I've heard so much great stuff, right? What I hear is planning, prep, and free zones, right? So far, like, I love the rule of the free zone. And then also, if you're going to go get something that's a treat, which is morning coffee, walk there, right? Earn it. You got to earn a little bit. I like that. Vern, what about you? How's food work at your house? And stress?
I'm actually eating better now than I normally eat all the time, because I'm actually in a structured situation with somebody preparing meals that are healthy instead of me eating garbage in airports and on airplanes. I have had an awful lot of 11:30 p.m. arrivals in hotel bad bar meals in the last 20 years. And that's kind of dinner. It usually looks like chicken wings and, you know, some other pseudo protein at the wrong time in the middle of the night because I'm hungry. So that's changed. I'm really spoiled to have somebody cooking really good food for me. I occasionally barbecue. That's about it. My stress release lately is I mentioned gardening. Well, it's not exactly a weed lot, but there's not a safe weed in the neighborhood. I've pulled every weed that I ever have spotted lately. Okay, I'm kind of OCD. I can't sit around very much, so I'm cruising and picking weeds and cleaning up. I've cleaned the back storage shed. I've cleaned my bike shed. I've cleaned the closet in the utility room. It's a little out of control.
Yeah, I get it, though. I love the weed story that you're the neighborhood weed guy. But I do a lot of things too, like the list of like, gee, I didn't know there these things were in this cabinet, and I cleaned out the cabinet, all the cabinets, and under the sink, and you know, doing all the stuff that I just didn't give attention to, but kind of knew that it needed to be done. And so then when you actually have the downtime, you can do it. And I feel good, right? You feel good about picking the weeds, right? And feel good about cleaning out the environment?
I'm out of control. I don't know if I feel good or not. It's happening.
I bet you feel better too. I know I do. Yelena, what about you? Stress, how are you dealing with it? Is food in that mix?
I would say food. I've gotten the food piece under control. I'm a control freak by nature, so that helps. I have not really turned to food. I do intermittent fasting, so I don't eat up until about 2 p.m. every day. And that works for me, because I'm one of those people, the more I eat, the more frequent I eat, the more food I eat, it's just kind of, it compounds. So after many, many years of trying to figure out what works for me, that's what works for me well, because out of sight, out of mind. I also do meditation every single morning. And that's something that I've been wanting to do. And it's at our work, we actually have a meditation class every Monday. And I've always been like, I'm gonna do it. But it's never happened because of the commute. And now I just get up every morning. Yesterday I was meditating, and now my son knows that mama has meditation time. And instead of interrupting me, because before he would come up behind me and go boo while I was meditating, and that didn't end well. Yesterday morning, he actually laid down next to me like a cat. And when I opened my eyes, I think he had been laying there for at least 10 minutes just watching me meditate. So he gets that. That helps a lot. I think the biggest thing that helps with my stress level is realizing that before all this, I had a routine. That means that I now also need a routine. And that routine may not be the same as I had before, you know, like going to swimming lessons, going to Russian lessons, like all these things. So we made a new routine. So every morning my son and I wake up and we write out both of our schedules for the day. I've always done the three to-dos, which is, you know, you have your giant to-do list, and when you look at it, absolutely not doing it because there's 20 things. My thing is I have three things that I have to do during the day. If the rest of the day I want to sit and watch TV, which I don't, but if I want to, I can. So that's the way I plan. So he has his own little to-dos, and we say at our house, work hard, play hard. So as soon as he gets his work done and all his homework, then he gets to play. And the same thing for me, that routine really helps. And then I think the last piece that works well for me during just this specifically is tuning into the things that I never got to experience in normal life, which is like in the morning, instead of rushing and like, get up and get ready, the bus is coming in 15 minutes. I actually get to like get him in my bed and we cuddle. And I'm like, I get to cuddle my 7-year-old, and we get to just kind of sit there and look at each other, you know, and that's been great. Or get to cook together, and he gets to experience some of those things. So while yes, it is stressful to have a kid in the house, and we could say like, oh my God, I can't wait, I get to see his education. I get to see how smart he is, which before it was like, what'd you do at school? I don't know. You know, so it's been nice to tune into those really wonderful moments. And that keeps me away from the food. That keeps me away from the stress, because you get just those really magical moments. And I hold on to that every day.
Very nice. So I'm hearing in the conversation from Vern and Yelena, it is, I hear, stay busy and keep your mind focused on other things besides what is or is happening or what is not happening. And I also hear routine, right? Create a schedule. And even if your schedule is different than what it used to be, having a schedule is really great. And then appreciate those moments. Appreciate the moments that you didn't realize you could have because they weren't happening. You were that busy getting out the door, getting it all done, going through the routine, and now you have a different routine. So find the brightness in those small moments, right? So that's great. Kirk, what about you? How are you dealing with stress? Is food in that picture? What's going on?
What's going on? yes and no. So just to give you a little bit of, I have an idea. So I came straight from an amazing vacation in Puerto Vallarta when I came back into lockdown. So that was like a major change, right? And I also started school the same week. So I lost my damn mind the week I came back. So I ate things that I would not normally eat. So for example, like I can buy Eric Girl Scout cookies, Easter candy, whatever. That usually doesn't even cross my radar because I'm busy, I'm doing other things. And plus I just don't usually like, that's just not stuff that I've eaten for a long time. Oh no, when I got back and had this like major change, I found every Girl Scout cookie, and I don't even know if it was like from this year or the year before or whatever. But I was eating crap that I have never eaten or haven't eaten in a really long time. I mean, M&Ms, like sitting at my desk eating M&Ms, that was so not me at all, right? So of course, I let myself be that way. It was a bit of a pity party, right? Oh, my trips are being canceled. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I can't see my friends, whatever. So I let myself have about a week of that, which is probably even a little bit more than what I would normally do. But then, of course, I had this like epiphany, not epiphany, but that little voice in the back of my head, what would Banded Wendy say? What would Banded Wendy do? So I was like, oh yeah, no, this is a plane in a deep dive, nosedive right now. And I'm not that kind of person anymore that says, oh, well, I'm gonna give myself 2 weeks or I'm gonna wait until the bans are lifted or whatever, because that's not what you would do on a plane that's crashing, right? If you're on a plane that's crashing, you don't want the pilot to say, oh, I'm gonna fix this on Monday. Yeah, Monday will be the day that I pull the plane back up. So I just course corrected because A, what would Banded Wendy say to me? And then also just course correct immediately. And so that way there's no shame involved. There's no embarrassment involved. There's no beating myself up involved. It is what it is. I allowed myself to have that moment. And then I got back on track. So that's kind of, there's a balance here. Is it absolutely perfect right now? No, I'm not meditating. I'm edgy as F right now, and you know, but I'll find it. Probably by the time this is all done, I'll have figured out my jam, and then the world will open back up and it'll freak me out again, and who knows what the hell I'll do.
I love it. Authenticity, always you're going to get that from Kirk. But you know, the other thing that I take away from that is course correct. Like that voice inside your head, right? There's always this voice inside your head, and you either play it. Really, we determine what that voice is, right? And we play with that voice. And so talking back to that voice, right? First you're like, okay, boys, let's find those cookies, right? And then later on, you're like, not today, Satan, right? I'm not going to have the cookies. I'm going to change the conversation in my head and proceed ahead, right? So all fabulous stuff. Vern, did you want to add something at this point? And did you want to share with us?
Yeah, thanks very much. Can you hear me now? Just make sure.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm a clinical guy, kind of a science-aholic. I collect information. And this whole episode of things that have been going on, there's been publications sort of dribbling out on COVID and on risk factors, diabetes, hypertension, compromised immune systems, people on chemotherapy, for instance. My best friend is in that category. And one of the categories that is mentioned in five publications I've reviewed recently, specifically calling out morbid obesity or any degree of severe obesity as an independent risk factor, that you are at more risk for being impacted by this virus. So to be really serious just for a minute, what does that mean for an obese person? That means social distancing is extremely important. Isolation is healthy. It may save your life. And it's a long, slow process, and it's a very annoying situation we're all in. But my wish is that everybody would really take this seriously. But the sooner everyone participates in this, the sooner we all get out of it. It's very frustrating to me that there are still five states not having any rules. I read recently that some rancher in Idaho is leading a constitutional challenge that telling him to stay home is infringing his rights, and he's planning a huge church service tomorrow for Easter. That's unfortunate because that puts all of us at risk. So I just want everybody to be safe and stay home.
Yeah, no, it's very true, right? I appreciate you sharing that. I could talk to you a little bit further about that, but I'll back up and go back to it. It is almost 12:15, and so I'm going to ask a couple additional questions here to a couple of folks, but I also want to start encouraging any of our viewers to send in via the chat function. So if you look up the top right, there's a little white button that looks like a bubble, right? It's a chat bubble, and you can click right on there and send it to the organizers, and that those are your questions. Go ahead and start sending your questions so we can give those to our panel and do the best to get your questions answered. So go with your questions. But I do want to come back, and I want to talk to Cassie about the grocery store shopping, right? I want to talk about grocery stores being crowded or being wiped out of the items that you're looking to buy, and you don't know what to do. Like, how do you create a food plan? How do you navigate that if, you know, Instacart, you said that you wanted the salmon, and they don't have salmon, and they don't have shrimp, and they don't have that, and your Instacart person's like, what else can you get, right? Like, so even the best laid plans are not necessarily working out. What's the best way to plan food in this type of environment?
Well, I'll speak from personal experience and then what I've encountered with my patients in the last few weeks. So I haven't personally had trouble getting things like meats and proteins, but one of my patients went to 4 different stores on one day and then to try to get chicken, just chicken breasts. She said they were completely out. And this was maybe back like 2 weeks ago. So she got up 7 a.m., you know, the next day, went and stood in line at Walmart in order to get her place in line. But again, to Vern's point, that's now putting you at greater risk. So if you are in a higher risk category, Vern, you can speak more to the masks as far as what they may or may not do to, but of course, you know, do your hand washing and all of those things. But you may just have to, what I have found is you may have to go earlier than you're used to or go at different times to the store, because I have not had any problem getting the things I want, but I have had to go to different stores and at different times than I'm used to. So I'm not usually getting up at 7 a.m. to go to the grocery store. I've done that, and I've also tried it more at like 2 or 3 p.m. to go to Costco. That worked for me one day, because the day that I tried to go early in the morning, Costco line was crazy, like down around the block or something. Another thing is shopping at stores that I don't usually go to. So we have a chain here. I live in Arizona. So we have a chain of grocery stores that's a gourmet grocery store. It's really associated with being very expensive. So you don't usually step foot in there, you know, maybe once or twice to get a special pastry a year or something for like a gift. So I actually went there when I couldn't find any rice, as you guys all have seen, the pasta, rice, like those kind of staple grains have been wiped out. Even quinoa is gone, which is so surprising to me. I'm not a quinoa fan, so. So going to a different store, in that more gourmet type of store, I was able to find the type of rice that I like, and I was able to find all the different meats in the butcher section that was different than, you know, I don't typically go there, and I didn't find it very much more expensive either. So I think going to different stores, you know, if you can do Amazon or something, if that's available to you, great, but different stores. Times, and I've been able to find, and most of my patients have been able to find everything that they're looking for. And I'm talking to people too about, if you want to stock up, that's fine, but stocking up on things that you know that you'll eventually eat. You know, brought me here 20 boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese for the girls, which is fine, but now I have 20 boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese. You know, we don't need that many. So I think it's hard to, and as the dust is feeling like it's settling, but then I don't know, because every day is different, you know, we might have to adjust again. So make your list up. But I mean, for me personally, it's been kind of fun because I get to go to the store and think, well, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? So I've actually been going more frequently
And again, just me, myself going, not bringing my kids, and then taking all the precautions as far as washing my hands before and after, not touching my face and things like that. So I've enjoyed it a little bit to be able to go to the store more frequently than I had been. But I know in some states, they're not recommending that and saying to go shopping just your one time for a 2-week supply. So that will be, you know, will require more planning, I would say.
Well, good. So people are asking some questions here. So I'm going to go to Kirk and ask, since he was so authentic about his M&M creep up, do you have any tips between meal snacks? Do you eat, Kirk? What do you have for snacks between?
To have them or not? Or is there a recommendation to whether to do it or not?
What kind of snacks do you go for in between meals?
Yeah, if I do, I always, almost always, you can find Blue Diamond lightly salted sea salt almonds, because not only do they, for me personally, do they kind of meet that crunchy salty fix. So instead of going to tortilla chips or crackers or things like that, it's crunchy and salty, but I also found that the almonds are really dense in terms of the way they feel when I eat them. So it doesn't take, like, a very few almonds goes a long way. So like a small can of almonds will almost last me a week, because when I find I want to go to something like that, it doesn't take very many and I feel full. So something densely protein like that is really good. And then also string cheese, mozzarella string cheese, usually a piece of mozzarella string cheese and some almonds will take that edge off of wanting to snack in between meals. But those are my two go-tos. Those are things that you will almost always find in my house. And then most of the time also baby.
Thank you. Perfect. Let's see. So we have another question, and now I'm going to go to Colleen on this one, just because of the depth of experience you've had so many years. The questions are, do you have any suggestions on how to cope, or is there a type of therapy that you would recommend? And us being patient professionals, I know you have the perfect answer for that.
Well, as far as therapy goes, you know, sometimes we know that through the years people gain weight and they struggle just in general, you know, independent of this virus and what's going on. That's, we're going to see a lot of people, I think, come out of this with what have I done as the weeks go by and needing, and we find that oftentimes people, we need someone who, expects more of us than we've expected of ourselves, and a strict and structured program. And there's back on track programs. You and Sandy do a wonderful job of a very structured back on track program. And so as far as, of course, there's coaching and there's therapy and that kind of thing, but there's some wonderful successes that have come through the years with patients that have gotten involved in a very strict, our program is a 6-week program, as you know, and then our success habits, of course, we always defer to those. There's books and workbooks and classes, research-based programs from patients that are out many, many years out of surgery and what they're doing, very specific habits that need to be in place for us to be successful. So as far as therapy, is that what the question was?
Yeah,
for structured?
What kind of therapy would you recommend? I mean, I know what I say when a patient asks me that. I'm just curious to see when someone says to you, should I seek therapy? What is the answer you give them?
There's professional therapy and then there's coaching. It's a very different discipline. Therapy, the difference as I understand it, therapy is we talk about how you got there and your childhood and things that have gone on that have brought you to where you are. Whereas the coaching, a good seasoned coach can help you. It can ask the right questions, can put you in the right frame of mind, can help you take responsibility for where you're at, and have you coach you through and ask the right questions and the right techniques to be able to find the answers for yourself. So I'm personally a fan of coaching. Bariatric coaching would be ultimate for those that are weight loss surgery patients, because there's an understanding there that the others maybe don't have. So.
I'm just going to share for the person who asked that question. I would say at a minimum, if, you know, because I work with coaching clients and sometimes coaching is fantastic if you're in the right frame of mind. But we always say at WLS Success Matters that there is no shame in needing additional support, whether that's professional support from a surgeon or a dietitian or a mental health professional. And if you're signaling to us, as this question is, that you feel like you need some additional help than what you have right now, if it is not something that you can get from this group or from a educational program, then by all means, do a teledoc, a call today, and get yourself scheduled with a mental health professional so that they can help you. Because if you feel like you need help, then you do. And there are people out there that are trained to handle with you dealing with any type of anxiety or depression, and you don't have to be alone. And we would always say, now go make that call and then be accountable back to us to let us know you did that and when's the first appointment, right? So I just want to make sure that we get that out there for the person who was concerned about therapy. A lot of people have a shame feeling about it, and we certainly don't want you to feel that way. Let's see, but I'll be your coach if you need a coach. What can I do to keep busy and not focus on my food? Who wants to take it? First hand up. What can I do to keep busy and not focus on food? Oh, Yelena's got it.
All right. Well, I would say definitely go outside if the weather is good. I mean, tomorrow it's supposed to snow here, and we are just taking advantage of any day. Like today, it's in the 50s. Go outside. It'll really refresh you. I think if you're sitting inside a lot, it can just be kind of a downer. But one thing that I have really been concentrating on during this time, I mean, besides the cleaning, the to-do list, little things that you can do around the house, obviously not everybody is in that mode. It's been doing a lot of self-reflection. So what I call like compound habits, right? I looked at my if-then habits. That's what I call them. It's if I go to work, then I eat M&Ms because our workplace is a millennial haven. We have dispensers of candy and free food, constantly. We have wine, we have everything at work, and it's not easy. So my if then, I've noticed, like, if I go to work, I end up circling the round from my desk and getting M&Ms over and over again, right? If I get up really late with my son, I miss breakfast or he misses. So I'm learning what those trigger points are. This is a great time to kind of see what has changed and then evaluating, and really on notebooks. I have right here my therapy notebook because I'm doing virtual therapy. I decided that I need it. I found a new therapist and I thought virtual therapy was going to be the most awkward thing in the world. Guys, it's amazing because A, you don't have to drive. B, you have your cats, right? You can like sit and pet your dog. And you can cry, and you don't have to then think, I have to walk out of this office and see a bunch of people. It's wonderful. So it's been a really good time for self-reflection for me. So if you're not the type of person who's going to reorganize your whole house, try to reorganize in here. Sit down, write some things out, really think about what you've been doing and what kind of habits you want to keep after this, and think to yourself, oh, those were pretty awesome habits. And then other things like, you know, this is a good time to say goodbye to those habits and move on. So say that.
Oftentimes we have a little extra time. I think Colleen wanted to add to that. Go ahead, Colleen.
Yes, that is so great. I recently did wrote a couple of articles. The first one was called The Time You've Been Given, about this unprecedented, now what do we do with ourselves time. And then a follow-up one called, that occurred to me, that what I wish I would have. And if we can, as you're writing things down and to project yourself, you know, into a couple of months from now and look back and say, gee, what do I wish I would? I sure wish I would have done that when I had the time. And so from that perspective, all kinds of things come up on that list of things that we can do and accomplish and check off, and eat little tiny things, big things, projects, plenty to do. Plenty to do for sure. And of course, you know, as Cassie said, just enjoying the time is also important with our families and our relationships. So that's all. Thanks.
Perfect. I want to do a time check. We're at 12:29. And I want to give all the panelists one additional opportunity to answer a question. However, I'm curious to know, there's a question that we've been given here, and I think that Vern may be the best mind to answer it. The question is, how does stress affect the inner body? Even following a food plan exactly, something is wrong. What can be done differently to change body from gaining weight? Any thoughts on that at all, Vern?
Wow, that's complex.
Yes.
stress absolutely impacts every part of you, not just your how you feel or your attitude, or it impacts sleep. Prevents good sleep, which has other consequences, changes how you eat. Even if you think you're being mindful and eating slowly, you may lose focus and be eating much faster. Specifically, lesson learned the hard way, lap band patients know that a well-adjusted band that's not too tight, pretty comfortable all the time, can eat normal food every day. But on a really terrible, no good, rotten day, they're miserable. And a band that's a little too tight all the time and they get away with it, on that terrible, no good, rotten day, they don't get away with it, because stress tightens up everything, including your soft muscle tissue. How to avoid that? I don't have that answer. Everybody's got their own mechanisms and hopeful ways of getting away from it, meditating, walking, exercising. There's a lot of bad ways people are going to in these times. There's an awful lot of abuse happening. There's awful reports of domestic issues. Alcohol sales are up. People have time on their hands to do bad things too. We have to really make some good choices right now.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Thanks for taking a complex question for us, Vern, and sharing. So, from a time perspective, everybody is saying thank you for the panel. They love it. Outstanding. So they're really happy that you guys have shared time with us. I think we could probably all talk all day, but I don't want to keep you all here. So the last question, and kind of do this like laser share, right? 8 words or less, kind of big bullet points here, big dots. What suggestions can you provide to those joining on how best to take care of themselves, their weight loss, surgery, life, and this new normal that we're living in right now? And I'm going to go to Kirk, no pressure. Laser share.
Laser share. I would just say, A, give yourself a break. B, don't give yourself too much of a break, meaning don't make excuses. Find things to do. Be creative in how you still connect with people. And just continue to find opportunities like this to find ways of remaining accountable and staying around your tribe of people who have the unique perspective of understanding what you might be going.
Thank you. Nikki.
Listen, find one thing in your day, even if it's 5 minutes, that can bring you a little bit of a departure, a little bit of joy. I typed in the chat, one of the ways that I handle stress is to, you know, Spotify, Pandora, music. I love putting on my headphones and escaping to somewhere else. And if you have that kind of escape, whether it be knitting or music or whatever, just take a little bit of time for yourself and don't feel bad about taking that time for yourself. I know, you know, the kids need to do their homework. You've got to get work done, but you can take a couple of minutes for you to do something that brings you peace, that brings you joy. And it really does make a big difference in sort of just going through these days.
Perfect. Vern.
Well, I remember when I was about 8 years old, I was whining about something. My grandma was listening to me complain about a problem, an issue. I couldn't get something I wanted. And I said, it's always something. And you get one thing solved, and then there's another thing. Grandma hit me on the head and said, good, you figured that out. Now get on with the next thing and quit your whining. Softer love version of that would be to realize that this is real. This thing that we're dealing with is serious. It is real. It is crazy real. But we've been through a lot before, and this will pass. We will get through this. So accept that it's real, and accept and believe that if you do the right things, if you stay home, you stay separated, you wash your hands like hell, stop touching your face, that it will get better. And we all have friends that it's impacted. We all have friends that are already beyond that opportunity, but for the majority of us, it will pass.
Yeah, so true. Your grandmother sounds like a good lady. Yelena.
I would say two things. One, we are socially distancing. Do not emotionally distance, meaning find ways to connect with somebody. If you don't know the technology, like I talk to a lot of seniors, seniors are my jam, and they have a hard time with the technology. And I will spend all night long with them if I can just get them on a Zoom meeting talking to somebody. So do not isolate yourself emotionally from other humans. And then the second thing, which no one wants to hear, but it's just what I'm going to say, do not use the situation as an excuse to drop your good habits. And I know that there's controversy within that statement, but this is not your chance to go and binge. This is not like, this is your chance to show what you're made of, you know, and that's how I see it. So
I gotcha. Colleen.
Oh, you guys are cool. A couple of quick things. Stay connected. I think that's what Kirk is saying, and Yelena as well. Stay connected and engaged in this community. And the other thing is that if you feel like you're doing well and managing it, help somebody else. There are so many that are struggling that maybe just need someone to talk to, that need some encouragement and some support, and to take all of that you have been blessed with and use it to help and serve and support somebody else that's been struggling.
Good one. Pay it forward. And Cassie.
Okay. The phrase that keeps coming to me in my meditations is, this is a gift. So there's something about this time being a gift. So use it and as a gift to yourself, as long as your, you know, health and safety, of course, are, I'm assuming that they are okay, meaning you're not infected with this and you don't have any real health concerns going on right now, but use this time as a gift. And then from the patient standpoint, what I've been encouraging people to do is to go back to basics. This is a great time to dust off that binder you were given however long ago, or to go online and review your paperwork, just read through things that you maybe haven't looked at in a while, and you have a different perspective depending on where you are at in your journey at this time. So I think having the mindset of this time is a gift, and what are you going to gift yourself with this? And then getting back to basics and keeping things simple. Those would be my two big things.
You're my new best friend. I know exactly where my paperwork is. I could go grab it right now. With that said, yay to everybody. Sandy has something to share to wrap it all up. I'll turn it over to Sandy.
Just real quickly, please refer any additional questions that you have to webcast@wlssuccessmatters.com, and we will reach out to the panelists to answer them for you. We'll answer them for you as well. I want a big thank you to everybody joining on this panel. Thank you, Cassie, Kirk, Vern, Yelena, Nikki, and Colleen for joining us today and sharing both your thoughts and your experiences with us. Also, check your emails in the next week for a link to the recording of this event, of this webcast. It'll be available for you on demand, so you can share it with friends, you can share it with your support groups, you can share it with your bariatric practice. And it'll be available on our website at wlssuccessmatters.com. But all of you who attended will get an email about it, so be on the lookout for it. Again, stay busy, stay connected, stay sane, and use this time to thrive, not just survive. Thank you.
All righty. Adios. Yay. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you. We did a first time thing, so we'll catch you again. Stay home. That's the other piece.
Bye, all. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.